I don't know, but one thing that's really worthy of our time, since man's time is so limited in this world, the only thing that I know that is worthy of his time is Jesus, to talk about Jesus. And I'm thankful tonight that I'm his witness. How many of you are a witness for Jesus? Let me see your hand. So that I'm glad tonight that I am a witness for the Son of God tonight. It's a real privilege to be a witness for the Son of God. I want to read just a little scripture here. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with me over to the 8th chapter of the book of Matthew's. And I'd like to read from the 22nd verse. No, I beg your pardon. It's beginning at the 25th verse. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? And when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. In the 26th verse, the question is asked, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? You know, when you stop and think about a great miracle such as Jesus performed in casting the devils out of somebody, and then think of the way that he was entreated, how that rather than rejoicing and having a jubilee and having a revival, they just said, we'd like for you to leave our city and our country. You know, that's typical of today, isn't it? You do something good for somebody. You come to the city and you bring something good. And then they get afraid and they say, I'd rather you just leave our city. Now, why is it that people do that? Seeing that there was such a great miracle wrought by the hands of Jesus, why is it that those people said, just leave our country? The reason for it is they were so convicted by their sins. They were so fearful and afraid of such majesty and such power until they were afraid that God was going to find out their shortcomings and the hidden things of their life. And they said, just leave us alone. Don't stay around here. When the power of God begins to move and thoughts begin to be discerned and something spiritual begins to take place, the first news you know, somebody will slip out and somebody will be gone. The next time you won't see them back because they're so afraid that you might find out about the things that they're doing, the secret things of their heart and the secret things that are taking place in their home. And they get so afraid and they begin to want to get away from you, or they want you to leave them. But you know, that's not the way to be. Why are people like that? Because the Bible said their deeds are evil and they love the darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And neither will they come to the light lest their deeds be made manifest and God reprove them of their wrong. Isn't that right? So then people are afraid of the real power of the living God. They get afraid, but we should entreat God. We should entreat God with fasting. We should entreat God with prayer. We should entreat God if he comes into our home in a human being. We should entreat God as he comes into our city. In every way, we should entreat God and should want the fellowship of God. You know, the darkness may seem all right now. As you walk in the darkness and cover up your evil deeds, it might seem all right now. But I'll tell you what, when you go to press your dying pillow, then you're going to look for a light. You're going to want a light, and you're not going to want that darkness anymore. That darkness is going to be so dense, and as it closes in on you, you're going to wish for the light. Isn't that right? When Paul and them was out in the midst of the waters for many days, out there in the raging tide, and the Bible said there was no light for many days. There was just a gross darkness that had come over the sea. And there they were in the ship, darkness everywhere. And the Bible said they began to wish for the day when the powers of death began to close in. And they realized that something was taking place. They began to grope in the darkness and wish for the day. Paul said, I tried to preach to you to start with. I tried to tell you about the gospel to start with, but you thought education was better than the gospel. Come on now. You thought that the master of the ship knew more than God did. Said, I told you this voyage would be to hurt. Isn't that right? But said you believed in the understanding of the captain more than me when I tried to tell you what God said. You took the knowledge of the skipper. You took the knowledge of the captain. You took the knowledge of the master of the boat instead of taking what I told you. That's the way it is in the world today. You'll listen to philosophy. You'll listen to the president. You'll listen to the professors. You'll listen to all of the things of the world. But when it comes to the preacher, you just pass him by and you don't pay any attention to him. And though he warns you, and though he preaches to you, and though he tries to help you and tell you the thing that you've got to do, you just pass it on by. But when that darkness closes in, it's going to be a sad hour. When that darkness began to fall on the sea, and the Bible said, for many days there was no light. Though they searched, though they sought, though they prayed, though they fasted, they didn't find any light. You know, you can get so far along that you can fast and you can pray and you can do what you want to, but there still won't be any light. For about 14 days, they fasted and done without food, but there still wasn't any light. And the sea didn't calm down. It was still raging. And the little boat was tossed to and fro. But God still had a preacher on board. Hallelujah. I'm thankful to God that God still got somebody on board today. The storms may rage, but Christ is here with us. Hallelujah. Some might not have feared God and might not have listened to God. But God's always got somebody on board. Hallelujah. Right in the midst of the turmoil, right in the midst of the trouble, right when it looked like everything had failed, old Paul the apostle stepped out and said, don't be afraid. Hallelujah. He said, for this very night the angel of God stood before me. God, whom I am and whom I serve, said he stood before me this very night and said he told me, said Paul, don't worry. Not one of you will perish. Not one of you will perish. Hallelujah. Not one of you will perish. Just calm down. Everything's going to be all right. Hallelujah. I tell you, it's mighty good when the boat gets to rocking and the storms get to raging and the darkness close in. It's mighty good to have somebody that's in touch with God. Hallelujah. Can you say hallelujah? It's good to have somebody that's in touch with God. Hallelujah. When the storms of life close in, we need to be in touch with God. It's good to have somebody that you can talk to, somebody that knows about the situation, somebody that understands what's going on. I'll tell you one thing, beloved friend, and I'm not critical, and I'm not speaking evil of dignitaries. I've got the greatest kind of respect for them, but I can tell you one thing, your president don't know what's going on. Hallelujah. And the kings and the queens of the world don't know what's going on. And I hate to have to say this, it's very sorrowful to say, but many of the ministers that you've got passed in the churches don't know what's going on. And the great overseers of religious bodies don't know what's going on. But hallelujah, God got somebody that knows what's going on. Can you say amen? I said, God has not left us without a witness. God has not turned his back on us. God has not taken away the light of the earth, he's still got a few men and women in the earth that loves Jesus. He's still got a few men and women in the earth that's seeking God. Brother George, there's still somebody in the earth praying and seeking God. Hallelujah, that makes me feel like shouting. Glory to God. There's still somebody seeking God in this world. Hallelujah. Somebody's still calling on the name of Jesus. While others are eating and glutton, while others are taking it out in the world, while others are frolicking, while others are laboring for money, while others are piling up treasures. Hallelujah. There's somebody calling on the name of Jesus. Wanting to know what's going on. Wanting to know what's happening. Are you interested? Old Daniel, about 20 years old. Nebuchadnezzar went up there and they brought him down to Babylon. And they had their feasts in Babylon. They had their parties in Babylon. They had their get-togethers in Babylon. But old Daniel was praying. Old Daniel was calling on God. There was somebody down in Babylon that was in touch with heaven. Hallelujah. And when it looked like all hope was gone and the Jews were down there in bondage and nobody could help them, brother, I want you to know that Daniel was praying. And the Bible said Daniel prayed and Daniel prayed and Daniel prayed until God heard from heaven. He just kept on ringing the prayer bells of heaven. He didn't get down with one of these popcorn prayers and get down there and say, glory to God, amen, God have mercy, I wonder why you didn't honor my faith. Is that right? Hallelujah. But Daniel prayed and Daniel kept praying. And Daniel kept praying. And after a while, the Bible said he broke through the heavens. And the angel of God came and stood in his midst and said, Daniel, thou beloved man of God, thou great and mighty man of God. The Bible said Daniel set his heart toward heaven. He wanted to find out what was going to happen to the people. He was interested in those that Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the city of Jerusalem and brought down to Babylon. He wanted to know what was going to happen to his brothers and his sisters. He wanted to know what was going on in the world. And so he prayed and he fasted and he called on God until God answered his prayers. Hallelujah. You know you're going to have a battle with the devil. How do you understand you're going to have a battle with the devil? When Daniel started praying, he had a battle with the devil, didn't he? When he started fasting, he had a battle with the devil. The trouble is we don't pray through. We don't fast through. That's where the problem is. We don't keep knocking and driving until we break through that middle wall of petition. But old Daniel just kept on praying. When the angel got down there, he said, Daniel, so the first day that you turned your face to heaven, said, we heard your prayer, Daniel. Is that right? God hears the very first prayer we pray, children of God. But he said the powers of Satan moved in. And the demons moved in. And those fallen powers moved in and said, we couldn't get down here to you, Daniel. Said, we tried to get to you. Like a little child over here separated from mommy. And he's crying out, or she's crying out saying, mommy, mommy. That mother hears that cry. She's in distance of hearing. She hears it and she'll do anything in the world to get to that child. But see, if something gets between her and that child and keeps hindering, she won't quit. She'll just keep on trying to get to that child. Isn't that right? Mothers have been known to burn to death, run into burning buildings to get to those children and burn to death trying to rescue a little child. Hallelujah. Don't you know that God hears the prayers of his little ones tonight? Hallelujah. Don't you know when you get down to pray, God is listening to your prayer. The devil will whisper in your ear and say, God doesn't hear you and God isn't concerned about you. But God hears every prayer you pray. Every prayer that goes up, God listens to it. And beloved, God in heaven hears the first prayer you pray. Every prayer that you pray, God hears it. From the first time you pray the first prayer, God hears it. And God said, Daniel, I heard that prayer. Through the mouth of the angel, he said, I heard that prayer. The very minute you started to pray, he said, I heard that prayer. And Daniel, I tried to get to you, but I couldn't get to you. The devils and the demons got in the way. Paul said, I would have come to you, but Satan hindered me. I couldn't get to you because Satan hindered me. And when God said, Paul, go to Rome and preach the gospel, the elements turned black. Everything began to roar. And the devil tried to sink that little boat, didn't he? Somebody said, I think God did that. The devil tried to sink that boat because Paul was on it. Paul was a man just like I'm a man. Paul could have lost his life down there in the deep depths of that water. And so then the devil tried his best to sink that little boat. Man, he billowed up every cloud he could find. I suppose from hundreds of miles around, him being the prince of the powers of the air, he called for every devil and every demon he could. He no doubt said, this man is chosen to reveal Christ to the world. For God has ordained that he reveal Christ from within his life to the world, and we've got to do something about it. It's that Jesus showing forth again. I thought I killed him at Calvary, but here he comes again. And old brother Paul just kept on praying, hallelujah. Kept on calling on God. And something started taking place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The demons gathered together and the heavens turned black. And people began to shake and tremble. They didn't know what to do. And that captain that thought he knowed so much, he come over there and began to fall down at Paul's feet, so to speak, and say, look, I made a mistake. Something's gone wrong here. Paul said, I tried to tell you. I tried to explain to you, but you wouldn't listen to me. And the heavens began to turn black and the winds began to blow and the little boat began to rock. But old Paul began to pray. Old Paul began to fast. Paul said, God, we're in a predicament out here. You got to do something for us. And he began to call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And God heard him. God heard him. And all of a sudden, swiftly, there came an angel by and stood in his presence and said, don't be afraid, Paul. Don't you be afraid. Glory to God. They might be 50 million devils, but don't you be afraid. You're God's man and I'm with you. Hallelujah. Jesus said, at this present hour, I could call down legions of angels. Hallelujah. The angel of the Lord encamped round about them that fear him. They deliver us when we talk to God and when we believe in God. They're standing steadfast with us to help us be free from the evils of this world and to surround us and watch over us. Hallelujah. And I will give mine angels charge concerning thee. And they have charge concerning us. If that mother will wade through that fire to get to that little child, think what God will do. Hallelujah. He said, I have engraven thee in the palms of my hand that I might not forget you. I don't want to forget you. So he said, I went to the trouble to engrave you in the palms of my hand with the nails. Hallelujah. I've got you engraved in the palms of my hands with nails so that I'll never forget that you belong to me. Hallelujah. Said a mother may forget her suckling. She may forget her child. But I will never forget you. I believe that. I believe that. I've been in some bad predicaments in my lifetime. I've been in some close quarters, physically, spiritually, and financially. I've been in some dark, deep, dark places. But not one time have I ever called on Jesus but what he didn't come. I've never called on him one time but what he didn't hear my prayer. He always came and answered my prayer. And when things was dark and when things was dismal and I couldn't find my way, and I would go away and pray and I'd say, Jesus, oh Jesus, won't you hear me? Oh God, won't you give me a helping hand? Won't you give me strength, Lord? And I could hear him whisper back from heaven. He'd say, be not afraid. Let not your heart be troubled, he would say. Don't let it be afraid. Just keep on believing. All of the dark, dark, dark night would fall around me. But Jesus would say, believe, my son. Believe, my son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's people here tonight in the small congregation that has walked through some dark, deep places. Did you know that? There's people that's walked through some dark, deep places. But glory to God, there's never been one of them forsaken. Never been one forsaken. Hallelujah. God has always been on the main line. I tell you this one thing, if you don't give up, if you don't turn around, if you'll just go on with God, you won't have any problem. But you know what? When you find out that you've got some kind of dreadful disease, the first thing that you want to do is give up. The first thing you want to do is say, well, I know that somebody's been healed, but it could never be me. I just never could have that kind of faith. But brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If somebody else believed, you can believe. God has not set faith out of your reach. If God has set faith out of the reach of human beings and God wasted his time dying at Calvary, God did not set faith out of your reach. Christ. But what you've done, you've listened to those lying spirits. You've listened to thoughts that talk to your mind when God commanded you not to lean to your own understanding. You've lent to your own understanding, and you've communed with your own understanding, and you've talked with your own understanding that the devil has inspired. Is that right? Hallelujah. You say, what can I do, Brother Pike? You've got to confess God's word. Is that right? Confess God's word. Whatever God's word says, that's what you've got to confess. See, whatever God's word is, confess God's word. If the Bible said, by his stripes we are healed, then that settles it. Somebody said, I got this and I got that and I got aches and I got pains and I got grunts. But brother and sister, if God said, by his stripes I'm a healthy man, I'm a healthy man. You say, where do you get that? I believe what he said about it. If the Bible said all of them that are born of God have a good understanding, I believe it. Is that right? I believe what God said about it. If the Bible tells me that they that are born of God are sober, hallelujah, and not insane, I believe it. I believe what God said about it. When that old mind begins to get elusive up there and something begins to go on up there, you just forget about it. Say, God said his word such and such, and I believe what God said about it. Hallelujah. That's why that I feel the way that I feel tonight about God's word. It's because it is a deliverer. God sent his word and healed them. God sent his word and delivered them. In every case in the Old Testament where there's trouble, God sent his word. When Joshua was in a perplexity of life and didn't know what to do, the angel of God came and stood before him, and God sent his word by the angel of God and spoke encouraging words to Joshua. And he went on and won the battle over in Palestine. Is that right? When Moses didn't know what to do and he got down to the Red Sea and he just stood there, and Pharaoh coming this way didn't know what to do, God said, just take my word, Moses. He sent his word, didn't he? Go forward, he said. Don't just stand here. Hallelujah. Just take the word of God and keep on moving. He took God's word and he kept moving with it. What we need to do is take God's word tonight. Do you ever read God's word? Do you ever meditate in God's word? Do you ever ask God to tell you what he's trying to get over to you in his word and explain to you what he wants you to do? Do you ever do that? Do you ever take a little time out to pray and get away with God and ask God to give you a helping hand? Do you ever do that, beloved friend? God wants to do something for you. God wants to help you. God wants to lift you up. God wants to strengthen you. But you're going to have to take God's word for it. There's no such thing as recovering from a disease just by hoping that you're going to get well. I don't mean to discourage you tonight, but you can hope all you want to, but that isn't going to do you any good. You can hope from now until Jesus comes that you're going to be all right, but brother, you're not going to be all right. You can sit out there and not repent of your sins and not call on the name of Jesus and just sit there and hope that God's going to overlook your sins and everything's going to be all right when God comes, but it's not going to be all right. See, his word tells you what you've got to do. His word tells you of your deliverance. The Bible said, call upon the name of the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? What you need to do is draw nigh to God. Somebody said, I'm waiting for God to tell me what to do. God's already told you what to do. Somebody said, I'm waiting for that time, Brother Pike, when God will save my soul. The Bible said, today is the day of salvation. Take no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow will take thought for the things of itself. The evil is sufficient unto the day thereof. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So then God has given you his word. God has told you what to do. God has brought you into a place to where you can hear the word of the Lord. And the Bible said God sent his word and healed them. Those men came running down furiously, running down from the tombs. Ran out to where Jesus was. You know what he did? The Bible said by his word he cast out the unclean spirit. Hallelujah. It said he cast out the unclean spirit. They run up to him and they had unclean spirits. But they said, never man spake like this man, for his words are with power. Hallelujah. And he spoke to them and he cast out the unclean spirits by his word. Devils don't like the word of God. Devils can't stand the word of God. Devils might talk to you, but brother, when you invite the word of God in, the devils will break fellowship with you. That's right. When you invite God into your life, devils and demons will run from you. Resist the devil. Draw nigh to God. Resist the devil and Satan will flee from you. Hallelujah. Somebody said, you know, a lot of times they'll come in and say, Brother Pike, I just can't get rid of the devil. The devil just hounds me all day long. There's always something wrong. I just can't get away from the devil. You know what the problem is? You don't try to live for God. Come on now. Hallelujah. It's either holiness or hell. Isn't that right? The Bible said God is the spirit of holiness. Is that right? If God is the spirit of holiness, then that means there's no eternal life without the spirit of holiness. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What it is, we want to shirk the way of holiness. We want to shirk the way of God. We want to join this church and that church and listen to this preacher and that preacher and listen to some indoctrination here and some indoctrination there. But brother, that ain't never going to get us over the great gulf. That ain't going to take us over it. Hallelujah. We've got to get in touch with God. Praise God. There's but one spirit. And if you have not that spirit, the Bible said you're none of his. You might say, I believe, but the Bible said if you believe, you do well. The devil believes too. Amen. You know he's a believer too. He ain't got a lick of faith, but he's a believer too. Come on now. Hallelujah. He believes too. So then it's going to take more than that. It's going to take drawing nigh to God. It's going to take resisting the devil. It's going to take pressing your way into the kingdom of God. People have to press their way into the kingdom of God. You've got to get a little faith. You've got to get a little strength. When those things start talking to you, you've got to resist them. You that are a married man, a little voice starts whispering to you, and it says, what about this woman over here? Just forget about your wife. Come on now. Somebody's going to say, well, I just can't help it. It keeps talking to me. I can't do nothing about it. I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of wives that'll help you, hip it. Glory to God. Amen. They'll help you help it and make you wish you had a hope it. That's right. Amen. So then you can help it. You better do something about it. That's the same way with them little voices that's talking to you. Those spirits is talking to you. Those demons is talking to you. That's the same way that they talk to you. And then you say, I can't help it. I can't do nothing about it. You can do something about it. Amen. You resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Somebody will suck on the bottle for 15 years and say, I can't help it. I can't do nothing about it. I'm just bound, Brother Pike. Sure, you're bound. You're bound because you let the devil bind you. Amen. You say, but Brother Pike, I can't help it. The Bible said, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Why come you can't help it? Get bound with an old devil of lust, bound with an old devil spirit, bound with some kind of lust, some kind of gossip, some kind of backbiting, some kind of long tongue evil, and say, I just can't get around it, Brother Pike. You can if you'll get rid of the devil. That's why you can't get well. That's why you're sick all the time. You fellowship devils and demons. Amen. If you'll quit fellowshipping devils and demons, you'll get all right. Now, somebody was saying, now, Brother Pike, you don't believe the devil is the one that makes you sick. Well, I sure don't believe God's the one that makes me sick. Is that right? Now, if God's making me sick, then we got a divided kingdom here somewhere. Now, if I'm battling against God, I'm ready to give up. Is that right? If I'm dying and I'm on my bed of affliction dying, and I'm battling against God, there ain't no need of me praying. Who can wrestle against God? I mean, if God's the one that's killing me, I might as well just take my last breath and get it over with. That's the way the devil does you. He'll talk to your mind and make you think you're wrestling against God and make you think it's not God's will for you to be free from that thing. And you find yourself wrestling with God. You can never believe like that. You say, well, what can I do? Find God's word. Somebody said, well, I want to find the will of God. Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. The volume of the book is God's will. Is that right? And the Bible said his will made flesh went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. Come on now. The Bible said Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. There went virtue out of his body and healed all of them that touched him. Is that right? Isn't Jesus the same? That's what the preacher's for, is to convert your thinking, convert your mind, get you out of the wilderness, to quote the word of God to you, to bring the preaching of the word to you, so you'll believe in what Christ says about it. Hallelujah. When we quit fellowshipping devils and demons, we can have our healing. Brother, as long as I lean to my old understanding, as long as I try to figure it out in my mind, that's just how long I'm fellowshipping devils and demons. As long as I listen to contrary thoughts, that's just how long I'm fellowshipping devils and demons. Amen. Glory to God, I ain't going to listen to those things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When they preach joy, have joy. The Bible said serving God's joy. Where's your joy tonight? Somebody said, I believe that, Brother Pike. Well, where's your joy? If you really believe that, it'll affect your body. It'll affect your mind. It'll affect your spirit. If you really believe in the Word of God, that is joy. The Bible said it's peace. Is that right? Serving God's not only joy, but it's peace. Some of you don't even know what peace is. Why, you haven't had peace in many years. You're tormented, tortured in your mind. All the time you're telling somebody that you are a Christian. Brothers and sisters, that's not true. The Bible said serving God is peace. Where is your peace tonight? If you're a saint of God, where's your peace tonight? You say, well, I belong to the church for 35 years. That don't mean a thing. I'm talking about belonging to God. I'm talking about getting right with God. The Bible don't say that faith cometh by the hearing of the church or shaking hands with the preacher. It said faith cometh by the hearing of God's word. Is that right? What about God's word tonight? It didn't say God sent the church and healed them. Did it? Did it say that? It didn't say God sent the preacher and healed them. Did he? The Bible said God sent his word and healed them. Said, now the real minister will preach God's word. He that God sendeth will speak God's word. You believe that? If you want peace, you can have peace like a river. Like Brother Cantrell was singing here the other night, there's a stream that's flowing. Hallelujah, it's coming down from God. I'm a happy Christian. I don't know what kind of Christian you are, but I'm a happy Christian. Now, I'm sober. I don't go around giggling all the time. I don't go around kicking up my heels all the time. But in my heart and soul, I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. I've got peace from God on the inside. I'm relaxed in God. I'm enjoying the ways of Christ. And I have all kinds of problems. Oh my, I have all kinds of problems. You know, as it is written, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. People fight me everywhere in every way. But some love me everywhere in every way. Isn't that right? If all of them loved me, I'd sure know I was of the devil. That's right. But the Bible said when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake, leap for joy. Is that right? Be exceedingly glad. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets before you. Hallelujah. You tell me that wouldn't make you happy? You look up to heaven and somebody said, well, a long time gossip over has been talking about you. Been causing you a lot of problems. Look up to heaven and say, glory to God, I got a great reward in heaven. Hallelujah! I've got a great reward in heaven. Not just a reward, but a great reward. For they did that to the prophets. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? So then serving God is joy. We stay sick because we fellowship evil spirits. We stay sick because we won't break fellowship with the kingdom of darkness. But I tell you again, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And someday God is going to bring that darkness so dense until death will close in. And then sorrow after sorrow and heartache after heartache will befall them that walk in the darkness. You know one of the prophecies of the end time? The Bible said gross darkness shall cover the people. That's one of the prophecies of the end time. Now, let's just look at it for a minute. You wouldn't say that in the end time God's just going to put the sun out, would you? That's not the gross darkness that God spoke about. How do you understand that God's a spirit? When God speaks about darkness, what kind of darkness is he speaking about? Spiritual darkness. Isn't that right? I said the other night the darkness was so great down in Egypt they could feel it. How do you know that the darkness is already so great in the day that we're living in that you can feel it? Can you feel it? You can feel it on your nerve system, feel it pressing your mind. You can feel the day getting darker and darker and darker. You can feel those oppressing powers coming from everywhere. The darkness is so dense that you can feel the darkness closing in from everywhere, making you miserable. You can't rest here, you can't rest there. You can't be contented in any place you find yourself anymore. You got to be sucking on a weed, you got to be eating, you got to be drinking, you got to be doing something all the time, trying to give your mind a little rest. Isn't that right? But I got glad tidings of great joy. Behold, unto you a Savior's born. Hallelujah. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. A son is born unto you. And the Bible said the government shall be upon his shoulders. And the Bible said that he bore your iniquities in his body on the tree. By his stripes, the Bible tells me that you're healed. So then there's glad tidings tonight. There's great joy tonight. Serving God is joy. Brethren, let me tell you something. The Bible said, he that believeth on him that sent me, he is passed from death unto life. When we sit around and we say, well, I hope I'll make it in. I hope I'll get eternal life when I get there. I hope God will judge me right and that God will be merciful to me and give me eternal life. That proves that you don't have a bit of eternal life. It proves that you don't know nothing about God. It proves that you don't know where you've been. You don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going. Come on. That's right. See, the Bible tells me that I've already passed from death unto life. I will never come into condemnation. I pass from death unto life. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, that's just a figure of speech to give you a little courage and a little hope until you get over there where God can judge and see if you're going to be all right and see if he'll give you eternal life. If that's the kind of God it is, I'll quit now because God's a liar. God's a deceiver. God's a make-believer. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Hallelujah. God don't play games. Brother, when God tells me that I have already passed from death unto life, I've already passed from death unto life. I don't have to wait till I get over yonder. I don't have to wait till I find out something about it. God's word took me from death and put me in the world of life. Hallelujah. The Bible said I will never come into condemnation. Is that right? Said at the judgment, every tongue that rises up to condemn you, I will condemn it. It tells me that there is not one person throughout the entire world that can lay anything to my charge. The devil may talk to your mind and my enemy's minds. It may talk to many people's minds and tell them all kind of things about me. But when they get through, they've not laid one thing to my charge, not one. God didn't record one thing that they said. You believe it? I pass from death unto life. Hallelujah. I shall never come into condemnation. I made the statement last night. Do we actually believe that God is going to come down here before the tribulation period, as many people say that he will do, and pick us up and catch us away to be with him in glory? And let us dwell with him 1,000 years out right here on this very earth. How do you know that's going to be on this very earth? Somebody said that's going to be on the new earth. Your preacher's in error. He told you wrong. Somebody said, well, he taught that to me all my life. He still told you wrong. It's not Bible. Maybe he's honest. Maybe he's sincere, but that's wrong. Now, on this very earth right here, for 1,000 years, God's going to dwell with me, and I'm going to live with him, and I'm going to reign with him. Now, do you think God's going to live with me and reign with me for 1,000 years? Love me and caress me and tell me that I'm his bride? And then after the 1,000 years, push me away and say, okay, here comes the great white throne of judgment. We're going to see if you're good enough to continue on. Somebody say, I love Jesus. You know the Bible don't read like that. Hallelujah. I said God's already taken me from death unto life. I'll never come into condemnation. Hallelujah. I confess my sins and I've been changed. I've been washed in the blood. I'm a saint of God tonight, not trying to campaign to get to be one. I'm not campaigning tonight to get to be a son of God. I'm not trying to get people to campaign so that they can get to be children of God. The Bible said, now, beloved, ye are the sons of God. We are the sons of God. Isn't that right? That's the song I said. Now, beloved, we are the sons of God. I'm a son of God tonight. Are you a son of God tonight? Hallelujah. I'm in the city of Charlotte. A son of God has come to your city. He said, hey, well, so what? We got a lot of sons here. That's fine. I'd like to meet some of them. I'm sure if they're sons, they'll be out to see their brother. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Those relatives really love one another. They got one mind and one accord. Somebody say, well, they're sons of God. They just don't believe like you. Something's wrong now. Wait a minute. The Bible said we're to speak the same thing. Isn't that right? Said all of us are to speak the same thing now. If we're sons of God, we'll speak the same thing. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, they were in one mind and one accord. Not two or three minds, but just one mind. The mind of Christ, the Bible mind. Is that right? I said last night, it ain't the sheep that's giving trouble, it's the shepherds. Sheep ain't giving trouble, it's the shepherds. If them shepherds had quit trying to take everybody for a meal ticket, we all could get together. Somebody say amen. Amen. If we quit trying to support our cause and get our buildings up and our TV programs going, our radio programs going, get back to the Word of God, we could make it all right. We could get together. If every one of the shepherds would get down to one thing and one reasoning and say, now, wait a minute, I'm not the chief shepherd. You're not the chief shepherd. The Bible said Jesus is the chief shepherd. Amen. And when the chief shepherd appears, he'll give me a crown because he made me a shepherd over his sheep. And we get together and say, now, wait a minute, fellas. This flock don't belong to you, and this flock don't belong to me, and this flock don't belong to them. These people belong to the living God. And we are a fivefold ministry God sent to feed this flock. And you can preach to all of them 10,000 times 10,000. And then when you get through, I'll have a campaign and preach to 10,000 times 10,000. And then when the evangelist gets through, the prophet can preach to them 10,000 times 10,000. And all the 10,000 times 10,000 can meet his needs and my needs and their needs and your needs and our needs, and we'll all go along together. Somebody say, I love Jesus. But you know what it is? They want to split a little group up over here and a little group up over there. And they've got doctrines they're trying to defend. Now, I'm for doctrine. I believe you ought to have a doctrine. I believe you ought to have the doctrine of the Bible. But they've got doctrines they want to defend. They've said things and they've planted seeds and they've let little trees come up that they planted that's not biblical. And when they hear the truth, they've got to back down, change around, or to save faith, they've got to pull the people off from the crowd. Amen. See the troubles in the shepherds. Let me tell you something. If a shepherd comes to me, if I haven't got it right, I'm ready to change it. I better change it. If I get over yonder and I know better than what I'm preaching and God lays the lash on me, I wish I had to change it. Did you know that? I'll tell you right now, if we're not right with God, if we're not right in our doctrine, we need to get things straightened out and stop dividing God's people. The shepherds need to get together and straighten this thing out. Hallelujah. But as long as one's in about a half backslidden condition, wants to have long curly hair down over the back of his neck, somebody say, I love Jesus. And Elvis Presley britches, somebody say, I love the Lord. And wants to sing a little rock and roll, and got to have enough money to pay on his Thunderbird and Cadillac, and he's got to get the best rock and roll singer on his television program. Or Miss Gay 90 with her clothes cut out the way you can see everything she's got. Amen. Somebody say, I love Jesus. Amen. As long as they do that, the shepherds ain't never going to get together. Amen. Hallelujah. You know why? Because God is the spirit of holiness and God ain't got the shepherds to start with. Brother, when you take a real godly, holy man, and I don't mean somebody that's always preaching what a lot of people call holiness. How somebody said, well, you can have on a nice, decent dress and a nice suit, but you still can be a wolf. I know that. I know that. I know that you can put on a dress that'll drag the floor and still be a devil. still be a wolf. Don't you agree? Sure, a lot of people are doing it. But it's one thing that you and I have got to confess. The Bible said that is sheep clothing. The wolf needs to get it off and let the sheep have it. So don't be condemning the clothing. Is that right? Don't condemn what God's doing just because there's a devil in it. Did you know that a lot of you've got devils in you? But you're God's garment. You know what God's going to do? He ain't going to burn the garment. He's going to cast the devil out of you and send you to the dry cleaners. Wash you up. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Somebody said, well, you're never going to get the devil out of me. I wasn't talking to you. I was talking about the garment of God. Isn't that right? He's going to put you in the fire. The Bible said, we'll tread the ashes of the wicked under our feet. He's going to get rid of you. All right, so it's wonderful to be a Christian. Hallelujah. How many of you believe it's wonderful to be a Christian tonight? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I want to do everything I can, beloved friend, to do something for God. I want to do something for you. I want to do something for my fellow man. But I want to get away from the darkness of the world. The angel said to Paul, said, Paul, just hold on, son. The darkness is going to be over in a little while. The tempest is going to quit raging in a little while. And all of this group that you've converted to fasting and praying said, I'm going to save every one of them. I hope I can convert you tonight. It's getting darker and darker. The waves are getting high. But I want to convert you tonight. Talking to the rich man here in Charlotte the other day, Brother Cheryl, got a big food company and airline out here, small airline out here in the S&W cafes all over the nation. And I was talking to him. He's got a big private yacht. He rents out for $10,000 a week. And he was telling me how that it was out on the sea just a few days ago. And he said 18-foot waves came in. But he said, Brother Pike said, I had that boat built in Holland and said it wasn't to my satisfaction. When I got it back here, said I had it rebuilt. Cost me a lot of money. But when the 18-foot waves hit it, he said she just held her own. She just sat there. Said it didn't do nothing to it. Hallelujah! Glory to God. God will watch over you. You know that? I started to buy a plane here in Charlotte not too long ago. I went down to Jimmy Swaggers. He had a plane for sale. I was going to buy it, and we couldn't get together, so I came to Charlotte, and Brother Cheryl had one over here. I started to buy it. And I thought, well, I'll just buy that plane over there. That looks like what I wanted. Somebody spent as high as $600,000 on it. And I thought I'd buy that. But something said to me, after I talked to him a little bit, something said to me, so that plane is too heavy. You don't want to mess with that plane. Said it's too heavy. It's overloaded. And spending all this money on it and doing what they've done to it, it's overloaded. It's not wise to get it, so I left it alone. I come back to talk to him the other day. He said, it's a good thing you didn't get that plane. Said, you didn't need that plane. Said, the man that spent all that money on it put a new skin over it and didn't take the old skin off. And said, being afraid he put a new skin off, thought he was doing the best thing. And said, it wound up so heavy that it caused problems. And said, the other day, the man that bought it crashed it. How do you know Jesus will watch over you? Jesus will watch over you. Hallelujah! Christ will be with you and he'll watch over you. But you got to follow him. You got to obey him. You got to honor him. You got to do what he tells you to do. Hallelujah. Praise God. I told him, I said, Mr. Cheryl, you're a great man. Got a lot of money, a lot of prestige, an outstanding name. I hear about you. I said, but you know what we need to do? I said, we need to lay up treasures in heaven where thieves don't break through and steal and moth don't corrupt. For wherever your treasures are, there your heart will be also. I said, everything I get in this life, I want to give it to God to do something for the needy and for the poor. When I stand on the other side, I want Jesus to stand there. When he looks over here, he'll say, there's one Brother Pike brought in over there. Took every dollar he had, took his time in prayer and fasting. But that's one of Brother Pike's converts over there. There's another one over here. That's what I want to hear him say. Hallelujah. I want him to turn around and say, there's one over there. Well done, son. You got one of my little ones in. Hallelujah. You don't have to worry. All your treasures waiting on you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All of your treasures waiting on you. I said, we spend it all on this side, on the gluttony of the flesh, on the things of the world. And we get over there, we don't have nothing. Isn't that right? Somebody say, I love Jesus. All right. I want you to stand with me. God bless your hearts. We're trying to do what we can for Christ. I'm trying to reach everybody I can in every way I can. We have a tremendous expense. But my workers can tell you that I don't bother nobody about their money. I've got some brethren that work faithful with me that support the gospel. They want to do it. Some ladies, some men, people around the different parts of the world, little Bethlehem. But I don't bother them about their finance. A lot of times my back is against the wall and I need $8,000 or $10,000 at one time. But I trust God to give it to me. And He's never failed me yet, Brother Wayne. In every case, He's always stood by me. I might have to have it in a few hours, but He always gives it to me. Hallelujah. I got ready to go overseas. I told Betty, I said, Betty, we've been wanting to go to Jerusalem for a long time, but God never would let us go. I said, but there's a time. Someday He's going to tell me to go because there's a certain thing I see in Revelation. So at that certain time, it came around. I said, well, Betty, I said, we'll have to go to the Holy Land. I said, God's sending us over there. She says, one thing for sure, if you go to the Holy Land, said, it'll be God that sent you over there. She said, because we sure don't have any money. And said, the bills are thousands of dollars. I said, well, you know my practice, Betty. I don't never leave home till I pay all the bills and then have money to go on. I said, and that's the way God will do it because He said go. And I set the date within a few days and God's bearing me record. Thousands upon thousands of dollars God supplied. He not only met everything that had to be paid, but He gave me the money to go over on and helped me take two or three more over with me. All by faith in God. I didn't set up the tent and pull for an offering. I didn't ask anybody for anything. I didn't send out any letters pleading across the radio or television. Somebody say, I love Jesus. We don't send out letters asking for nothing. We don't sell nothing. We don't sell records, tapes. We don't sell anything. God has blessed us. Our ministry's in about 30 foreign languages. And God's still blessing us. We get letters from Africa, letters from India, letters from Israel, letters from different parts of the world. Got one the other day from Malaysia. A sister said, Brother Pike, your literature is going all over this nation. Loving Jesus, hallelujah. Preaching the word of God. We preached on many radio stations across the nation, a number of television stations. I mean stations that reach around the world. Hallelujah, the big stations. God's put us on them. And even right now, though we're not on some of the stations that we was on, we felt to come off, yet we've gone on some more stations. And even right now up in Pennsylvania, we're on about 6 days of the week there at radio. Also on a time or two in television. Down in Alabama, we own a time or two a week there at television. Over in Atlanta, Georgia, we own up there 5 days a week on the Big Gun of Dixie by radio. Over in Memphis, Tennessee, we are on 5 days a week there by radio. Out in KSA, Phoenix City, Arizona, we're on 5 days a week there in Phoenix City, Arizona on the radio. We're on TV over in Chattanooga. God has blessed us. God's still blessing us. Hallelujah. And God's meeting the needs. Other stations that God has blessed us with. On a station 5 days a week down in South Georgia, God has blessed us. God is walking with us, friend, and God's helping us. And we're contemplating going on some more stations right now. There's a number of stations that's really riding our backs. We get letters all the time. They said, Brother Pike, we've heard your program and we want it on our radio. And they won't leave me alone. I don't write them back sometimes and I'll get 3 and 4 letters and they'll say, we want you on the radio. Oh, we want you on TV. In Chattanooga, they wrote us and said, we heard your program over the radio, said, we want you on our TV program. You love Jesus? Amen. Hallelujah. God will do it. We've got to pray. We've got to believe God, but God will do it. Amen. Hallelujah. I appreciate every dollar, every dime, every person that loves Jesus enough to stand with me or any other minister. God bless everyone that's ever sent me a dollar that ever will send me a dollar. I pray for you. I pray for you. I need your help. But I want the help of them that God gives me. God said, Moses, just get me a free will offering. Isn't that right? Took him 2 or 3 months to take up his offering. But he said, let him keep bringing it till I tell him it's enough. Come on. That's what the Bible said. Hallelujah. He got what he wanted. All right. Let's just bow our heads, can we? Try not to preach the second sermon tonight. I love you. I'm going to tell you something, folks. This is about, what, the third or fourth night, Frank, we've been here. Third night. I'm going to tell you, I have felt a wonderful reception here in Charlotte, North Carolina. God bless your hearts. There's some places I go, everywhere I go, God has people to receive me. But in some places I feel devils and demons just coming into the flocks. And I know that Charlotte is a wicked place. I said the other night, I sat down here at the 7-Eleven for about 20 minutes. Car after car stopped, young folks, old folks alike. I can't hardly recall one of them that went in that was what he was a drunk or taking dope. I mean, you could tell it, not just doping up a little, but it's staggering. But in spite of all of that, God is giving me a good reception. The people's hearts have been sweet, receptive here in Charlotte. Sunday and Saturday night, we had a full house. God blessed us. Got a good little crowd tonight. Looking for it to grow. God's going to bless us. But that's wonderful for you that the people would receive us here in Charlotte. Now, you don't know. You could say, well, Brother Pike, I don't know you from Adam. I don't know if it's good or not. I don't know that you could cause me any problem anyway. But I'm telling you, it's good that you did. I do know. And it's good. You know, a man standing there with a gun in his pocket, you receive him real good and he don't blow your brains out. You don't know he's got a gun in his pocket. Isn't that right? And he say, you know, it's a good thing you received me. Now, I don't know nothing about that, but he knows. He's got his hand on the trigger. See, I know that God is with our little group. I know that God is with me. I know that God said whoever I blessed would be blessed, whoever I cursed would be cursed. I know that it works because I've had to do it at times, not because I want to. A man of God don't curse anybody unless he's absolutely compelled to of God. Like God said to, over there to Samuel, spoke to him, said, Samuel, you might as well get off your face and quit praying. I'm not going to spare Saul. Samuel said, oh God, have mercy on Saul. They were good friends. A lot of times you want God to take your friend through, but God ain't going to do that. He said, Samuel, get up. I'll give him a chance. Get off your face. I'm not going to spare him. I didn't put up with him as long as I'm going to. Isn't that right? He said, cut the tree down. Cut the tree down. It ain't bearing fruit. Cut it down. Don't let it come with vengeance. But then the preacher will plead like Samuel. He'll say, have mercy. Have mercy. Pleading. Have mercy. Let me dig around it a little more. God's going to dig around Charlotte a little more. Did you know that? Glory to God. There's some people in Charlotte and here in the Carolinas that God wants to dig around a little more. I know they've had a hard battle. And I know there's been every kind of preacher from I don't know what to I don't know what that come through here. But nevertheless, that don't mean all of them's black and dirty. There's some that's clean and holy. Just because some of them acted the way they act, that don't mean they're all dirty. God's got some that's righteous. Did you know that? A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I don't believe there's any such thing as a righteous man. The Bible said Noah was a righteous man. I don't believe there's any such thing as a perfect man. The Bible said Noah was a perfect man. The Bible said we've come into the city wherein the spirit of just men are made perfect. Is that right? Be ye therefore perfect, even as our Father in heaven is perfect. Is that right? Oh, I tell you what. I wished I had time to tell you who you are and what you are. I wished I had time to do it. Oh, you're talking about joy unspeakable. It's no wonder you don't have joy. Some of you just don't know. While your heads are bowed, they're playing on the organ. I wonder tonight, maybe there's somebody here that hasn't made peace with God. Maybe there's somebody here that just hasn't yielded to God. Maybe they've not given their lives to God and they need a helping hand. I wonder, while we take a few minutes here under the gospel tent, I wonder if you'd step out up here right in front of the altar. Would you do it? Would you step out up here just for a few minutes? You know, that's the way that you can get God to do something for you, is to be obedient. Step out. You say, Brother Pike, I'm not ready to surrender. I'm not ready to surrender. But like the other day, when I saw five cars pile up on the bridge on the superhighway, one of the cars, a big semi, was sitting on top of it, where it run over. I'm satisfied some of them people might have been spitting their life out, blood running from their mouth. Don't you reckon they were ready to make a change? See, you're just a fragile thing, folks. You're more fragile than a glass bottle. Sure. One little bruise, and there could come a cut. There could come a cancer. There could come hardening of the arteries from just eating the wrong things. There could come a blood clot, a weakness of the heart. Isn't that right? Any little thing, an affliction. It could come. But it don't have to. Why wait? The Bible said if we would judge ourselves, we have no need to be judged. Isn't that right? If I judge myself, God is going to have to judge me because I'm going to put evil away from me.